I speak to you in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They came into the kitchen with their clipboards, diagrams, iPads, and cameras to document their discussion on a new and better design for the kitchen. None of them have ever worked in the kitchen. None of them are Red Seal chefs. No one in this executive design group from the head office of Betty Crocker had firsthand experience with organizing a walk-in fridge or sterilizing dishes. Nonetheless, they had come to renovate and upgrade their commercial test kitchen in Minneapolis, completely disregarding the head cook standing in the shadows. She was beneath them. Kathy is her name. She told me she got a new kitchen all right, but it was completely useless. They worked on a design for an electric car and saw how well halogen lamps would fit with their vision and their budget. No cars are being named. No one seemed to realize the impact it would have on anyone that crossed the path of those oncoming, piercing, blinding lights. Driving, biking, or walking, you cannot see anything ahead of you when a car with those lights is approaching. Funny how it is that corporations and governments are so blinded by their own agendas that they are unable to see the very people they need to notice, to consult with, and to care for. Jesus is walking down the street. He is walking away from those who have picked up stones to throw at him and kill him. This is what precedes the reading we heard today. He was able to give them the slip by hiding in the crowd and edging his way out onto the street. Nearly being stoned to death by those with their own agenda would be disheartening to most, but for Jesus, it was an occasion that heightened his awareness of the blind man begging on the street. He knows that he has been blind from birth and suffered from being of no consequence to others. Jesus sets to work, working to open his eyes and bring him out of the shadows and release him from the hard scrabble existence he has lived on the streets. This work is immediately under investigation, not unlike the investigative work a city council does to determine how a street person finds a way out of that hard life. Jesus said to his disciples, "While it is daytime, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is going to close in around us soon, and we won't be able to do this work, to bring light to the eyes of those who are blind and want to see." The darkness is coming from the adherents of dogmas that refuse to see the light of truth, the light of day that shines on the ones on the streets who need help to live life well. John loves playing with the light and dark metaphor, with daytime and nighttime. He said at the beginning of his story about Jesus that he is the word sent from heaven into our darkness, and he was not understood. The darkness did not understand him. Many in his day could not and would not try to understand who he was and what works he had been sent by the Father to do. It was work to make mud out of saliva and clay and put it on the eyes of the man born blind and then open them. It was work to help the leadership of the day stop turning a blind eye on those on the streets struggling to survive. So a full-on Pharisaical investigation ensues when they hear about his work. Jesus has broken the law. Who cares about the man once blind and now able to see for the first time in his life? He takes on a role of importance only to help them prove that Jesus is not sent from God to do this very work. Though this man can now see, they push his experience back into the shadows. They don't rejoice with him and account for the radical, liberating change this has made for him. He has just received divine recognition and love so that he can work again and leave the begging bowl behind him on the curb. They don't consider how extraordinary it was that Jesus did something they haven't been able to do. But working on the Sabbath, well, that's a problem. and it becomes a smoke screen for them, for not recognizing that they couldn't and didn't do what the law requires of them on Monday or Tuesday, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, it's worse, actually, than all of this. Everyone, the disciples included, saw the blind man as a sinner. What you do with sinners is stay clear of them so you can maintain a state of holiness before God. Psalm 1 says it all. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. Jesus messed with the current dogmatic approach to blind beggars on the street, based on the wisdom and legal tradition of Israel's leadership. He did this by making mud and opening the eyes of a blind man considered a sinner because of his disability. He did this on the day God rested from his work of creation and commanded his people to do so as well. The authorities investigating the whole affair are trying to uphold the standard procedures for dealing with sinners, and Jesus is challenging them. Nearly being stoned before, because of claiming to have existed before Abraham, he is being investigated for having the audacity to say this in another offensive way now, with another I am statement, something else that John is known for letting us in on. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he is saying, I am that God who created light. I am the light of the world. He has come from God to release people from shadowed existences. God did rest when his work was done at creation, but we see in Jesus he is grown restless to complete this work, and he won't rest until it is done. So even on the Sabbath, Jesus walked the streets of humanity, sitting in darkness to transform and recreate us. Mud, water, eyes open sounds very much like what God did to create Adam and Eve. In the course of the Jewish authorities' investigation into the extraordinary recreation of the blind man, they failed to see the truth in one of his responses. Divided among themselves about whether Jesus was a sinner or not, some asked the blind man, and note that they still see him that way in the text, though he can see. They say to him, as he looks at them, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He said, he is a prophet. What is a prophet but someone sent from God with a message to be listened to? People on the street see things more than we know. The blind man did not see physical light as he sat on the sidewalk begging, but he saw through people. He saw into himself and knew he was not a sinner, nor was Jesus. The first person to see him was Jesus, and the light that radiated from his face assured him of this. Only someone sent from God could awaken and heal him so. What would it have looked like if the authorities had set down their clipboards, their iPads, and cameras to sit before the man whose eyes were opened? The one in the shadows whose experience could transform them and help them align their agenda with God's. What would it have meant to have turned off the interrogation light on the man and on Jesus and let their radiant faces shine on them and inform them of a new design for social, religious, and civic life? What could it have done to transform the standards and actions of the authorities in charge of order and holiness to have heard from someone how they could actually make life better for those who live, beg, eat, and sleep on the streets? The governing body of Jesus' day chose to expel the man from the synagogue, doing to him what his parents feared they would do to them if they agreed with Jesus. The blind man on the street is the drug addict, the veteran with PTSD, the teenager who grew up as an alcoholic, unwillingly really, the young man who witnessed a murder and keeps running from the memory of it, the woman escaping an abusive family life, the ones we see but don't see as we endlessly debate what to do to clean up our streets and make them safe. We all know of the crisis on the streets in Victoria and the endless debate about what to do about it. The crisis has names. The it are human lives. The people on our streets are as nameless as the blind man in John's gospel. But we have come to know him, and that noticing him and helping him was what Jesus shone a light on. This is so we would not sin by remaining in the dark about the work we are called to do until there is a day of rest for everyone. Our work is to take mud and water, whatever we have been given, to recreate people. The authorities of Victoria adjudicating the matter are an intersection of corporations, business owners, civic leaders, and tourism leaders. The number one priority of the city's strategic plan is, and I quote, to support a range of civilian, bylaw, and policing crisis response and prevention services. The other priorities include beautifying the city, which means getting whatever is ugly off the street and out of sight, and advancing policies to ensure it is a lovely city for tourists to feel safe enough to come and recreate. But is the city not a place to call home? A place with a variety of neighborhoods where everyone can do the work of being neighborly? A place for all who live there to be contributing to the conversation, where clearly a redesign and upgrade is needed? Of course, we sympathize with the authorities and the great difficulties of our provincial capital. I do. But Jesus is our authority, here in the church, as followers of Christ. Jesus is our authority, and he is interested in people's well-being and was not afraid to touch, to talk to, and to gaze upon those deemed inconsequential, useless, unnecessary, ugly, unsightly, bent over, and unable to see a way out of life, a life they never dreamed of having, for sure. I met with Deborah Moyo. She's the new director of Threshold Ministries in Victoria. She and many others in this ministry walk the streets as Jesus did, doing what they can to call people into the light and out of the shadows. I suspect that neither a street person nor a street ministry person are welcomed to the council's investigative tables. Maybe they have been, and good if they have. But we can get out there on the streets with Deborah Moyo as well. Jesus said, I have come into the world to exercise judgment so that those who don't see can see and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard what he said and asked, surely we aren't blind, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you wouldn't have any sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. Let me close with a poem which is a blessing by John O'Donohue. It's titled For Citizenship. In these times when anger is turned into anxiety and someone has stolen the horizons and mountains, our small emperors on parade never expect our indifference to disturb their nakedness, their blindness. They keep their heads down and their eyes gleam with reflection from aluminum economic ground. The media wraps everything in a cellophane of sound, and the ghost surface of the virtual overlays the breathing earth. The industry of distraction makes us forget that we live in a universe. We have become converts to the religion of stress and its deity of progress, that we may have courage to turn aside from it all and come to kneel down before the poor, to discover what we must do, how to turn anxiety back into anger, how to find our way home. Amen.